We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Out and follow us online to be a part of that experience as well. And so today I'm excited because we're starting a new journey for the next few weeks that I believe is going to be something that is going to not just impact you as you sit here and as you hear God's word and us as a church family, but more importantly, I believe that it is going to impact our community. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but there is a lot of divisiveness and there's a lot of hatred and there's a lot of bigotry that's taking place in our society, that's happening in our country, that's happening in our world, that's happening in our community. And a lot of times, oftentimes, people have opinions about it, but nobody has truth about it. And so we wanted to do a series that would intentionally speak to the things that divide our society. And I believe that our church is going to have such an impact in our community, especially through this series and coming out of this series, y'all. I want you guys to lean in and hear me on this. This is kind of like me vision casting at the same time. I believe that God is going to work so much through us, through this series, to impact the lives of other people, that this building is going to overflow with people. The kids area is going to overflow with people because people are drawn to truth and they want to hear truth and they want to hear what is the truth and how do we work through the divisiveness and how do we work through the hatreds and the things that we see in this community. I believe that God is going to bless us so much through this series. He's going to bless our church and bless our community so much that over these next few months, man, we're going to be busting out of the seams and we're going to probably in the next few months, at the beginning of the year, at the latest, probably have to go to two services simply because, like, people are hearing the truth and it's touching their heart and they want to know what does God have to say about this. And as they hear what God has to say about it, they want to go tell other people who now want to be intrigued and want to hear about what God's truth is. That's what I see kind of happening through this series. I see this series being a catalyst for this. And so we're starting this brand new series today called Diversify. Everybody say Diversify. Say it like you mean it. Everybody say Diversify. And the reason why this is going to be a huge series, as I mentioned earlier, is because especially it's going to speak to the issues of racism and division that we see in our community. And so here's actually what I'm going to ask us to do as a church. Most of us in here are on social media, like you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. I want us, especially for these next few weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, to post about it. I want us to Instagram it. I want us to tweet it, man. I want you to check in. Matter of fact, you can pull out your phone right now and kind of start doing it, man. But I want us to begin to communicate what God is communicating to us here right now, so that way your friends and your family can begin to see it, so that way conversations can begin to start and take place around the truth of what God has to say. One of the things that happened was when we planted this church 3 years ago, we did so with the conviction that our church would be diverse across ethnicity, across age. And part of that had to do with the fact of all the things that we see happening in our society. So when we planted this church 3 years ago, I saw the stuff happening that's happening today. Like it wasn't kind of, you know, like, oh my goodness, all this stuff is kind of a surprise and I didn't see any of this stuff coming. Matter of fact, that's why God called us to plant this church. That's why the name of our church is the Bridge Church. It's so that way we can begin to tear down walls and build bridges so that way people can experience the love of Christ, loving God, and loving their neighbors as themselves. Amen? Like, that's why God called us to plant this church. The thing that surprised me was the frequency and the magnitude in which we're seeing it. That's the thing that's not even, I guess, surprised me, but that's the part that's really struck a chord in my heart. It's the intensity in which you see it. You know, just when you think that, you know, there's been some progress, a lot of progress made, and trust me, there has been a lot of progress made, but I think when you see different issues that are taking place in our society, we kind of see that there's still so much left to be done. And so today, in part one of this series, Diversify, I'm simply calling this message, Walls Come Down, or as a subtitle, Destroying Division. Now, I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. And we got it up on the screen. Matter of fact, it's on your app. You can download our church app, The Bridge Church, in Google and also in the iTunes. And in there we have actually the Sunday message notes, so the notes that we're sharing today. You guys can follow along there in the app. Just go to the App Store and download that. But here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. It says this, "For he himself is our peace." He would be Jesus, "who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. And for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Here's what verses 14 through 15 say. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was creating himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." Walls come down. Now, it's not rocket science, I think, for many of us to see that racism and division isn't something that's new to our country and in our world. This has been something that's prevalent for many years, especially here in America. As a matter of fact, many would go on to say that probably one of the more original sins of America is that of racism. And not just in America, but forever, humanity has been awesome, not in a good sense, but in the worst sense, at building walls and erecting walls that divide people. Like if there's one thing that we know how to do well as a result of sinfulness, is to create barriers that divide people. So we live in a time where there's walls of racism, where there's walls of other types of division and hostility and hate is perpetuated. Like, we see all this kind of stuff happening in our climate and happening in our society. And just recently, about a little over a month ago, a little less than a month ago, you saw the events of Charlottesville. And one of the things that really gripped me when it came to Charlottesville was there was an image that I saw online. There was an image that was circulating just all throughout mainstream media, and it was an image of this rally where white supremacists and neo-Nazis and other hate groups were as their proponents of division and proponents of hatred and pushing this agenda of hostility and racism. And if you haven't heard about the events of Charlottesville, go Google them, because I don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it. But just in a nutshell, it was a day in which racism was seen. It was a day in which hatred was seen. It was a day in which bigotry was seen. These symbols right here, a Nazi flag and a Confederate flag, and all these things represent walls. Walls that have been erected over years and over decades and just time after time that represent division and hostility in our country, but really are a reflection of the division and the walls that exist in our hearts. The reason why images and flags like these parade around, these flags and these symbols are just really symbols of what's taking place in the heart, of the hatred that exists in the heart. Now, many of us in here, because we are a multi-generational and a multi-ethnic church in many ways, many of us in here, when you see symbols like this, walls like these images right here, it conjures up different types of emotions. And many of us who have lived through different areas, that's the thing and the beauty that I love about our church, where we have older people, we have younger people who represent different areas and different generations. Some of you guys remember the civil rights area. Some of you guys are related to people who have experiences when it came to Nazis and the Holocaust. You remember, you have experience, you have connections and ties to this thing. And it brings a lot of sorrow, it brings a lot of grief. What it perpetuates, what it shows, is that there's so much hatred in the hearts of people, that people of different ethnic groups are hating one another, that there's this hostility, that there's this tension in our culture and in our time. But here's the interesting thing, that in the midst of all the things that we see playing out in our culture and in our time, stuff that's been happening for the past 20, 30 years, even going back to Jim Crow segregation days, all those type of things, Y'all, this isn't even something that started 200, 300 years ago. This is something that goes back all the way to the beginning, the minute sin enters into the world. Because the minute that sin enters into the world, it was the minute that division and separation begin to happen. And the minute that happened was the minute that it manifested itself in all of these different ways, whether it's racism or classism or ethnocentrism or sexism. All these things happen as a result of the original sin of mankind rebelling against God in his perfect ways. And now as a consequence, we've been experiencing the ramifications of that, living in a fallen world as a result of that. But the thing that I love the most in the midst of the hatred, in the midst of the turmoil that we see happening in our time, and in the midst of it's happening even thousands of years ago, but especially in the time of Jesus, is that the Bible is not silent when it comes to the issue of racism and division and ethnocentrism. Some people oftentimes wonder when they come to our church, why do you guys talk so much about race and diversity? Why do y'all, it's cool to talk about it when everybody else is talking about it, but y'all talk about it even when it's not popular. Why do you talk about it so much? And like the smart aleck pastor in me wants to say, because the Bible does? Because Jesus has a lot to say. I don't say that, to them, but it's kind of what I'm thinking. And so I oftentimes say, because this is what Scripture talks about. This is the heart of God. We're talking about humanity being divided amongst itself. So because the Bible has a whole lot to say about it, as followers of Jesus and as people who believe in Scripture, we believe that this is a topic that we should not be silent about. It's real cute when everybody, when events like Charlottesville happens and everybody's talking about it, everybody's posting about it, we need unity and all this type of stuff. But what I've discovered is the true test of your heart is, do you talk about it when it's not being talked about? Do you talk about it when it's not popular? Now, already when I was preparing this series, I was already prepared for the spiritual warfare that would happen as a result of this series. Because whenever you're talking about unification, whenever you're talking about people coming together, whenever you're talking about tearing down walls, it's going to be conflict in the spiritual and even in the natural. Maybe even for some of us right now, it's a little unsettling, but I believe that by the grace of God, man, God is going to do some healing in our hearts, not just before the end of this series, but also before the end of this service. When it comes to diversity, when it comes to issues like this and division, this is a hill that we will die on as a church. Like, if there's one thing that we will talk about amongst a host of other things, this is one of them. This is one that we will die on. This is why we named our church the Bridge Church. Because God bridges the gap between himself and humanity through the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also bridges the gap between humanity and itself. This is a hill that we will die on. This is something that we will talk about. And in this text here in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to believers in this place called Ephesus, which is what we know as modern-day Turkey. And he's writing this during a very, very hostile time during the first century Greco-Roman world. Now, if you know anything about the first century Greco-Roman world, which was the time in which Jesus lived and did ministry for 33 plus years, and the time in which the early church was established, it was a time that was filled with hostility. It was a time that was filled with division, that was filled with racism, that was filled with segregation. And in particular, the city of Ephesus was one of the more diverse areas, hence the reason why we're using this hashtag diversify for our series name. It was one of the more diverse cities in all of the land during that time. Very similar to Hampton Roads. The one thing I love about our area is it is diverse. We have a very strong military presence here, and people from all over the world are here. You know, one of the things I love about a place called Busch Gardens, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. When I go to Busch Gardens, I see diverse representation. Like, not just the people who come there, but I think it's kind of cool because they have these different parts of the park that are named different things, you know what I mean? Germantown, Italy, all these different areas. And I feel like, man, that's kind of a picture of what heaven is supposed to be like and will be like. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But the reason why we talked about this series, Diversify, in the midst of what we're experiencing right now is because especially our church and especially this community, it is one of the more diverse communities, not just in the state of Virginia, but in the entire country. Like, I don't even know if you guys know some of the history of the city of Hampton. I don't got a whole lot of time to go into that. Go Google it. There's a lot of historical elements to the things that we're talking about here just in the city of Hampton alone, y'all. I believe that maybe God called our church to be here in the city of Hampton as well as other churches in the city of Hampton because maybe God wants to do something through our church to communicate to other cities all throughout this country of what unity and diversity look like. Do you think it's an accident that 47% of Hampton is African-American, 43% is Caucasian, and it continues to diversify amongst age and background? Do you think that's a coincidence? No. I believe that God has strategically placed believers here in this city for such a time as this because he wants to bring unity. And you're a part of that. And that's what Paul is trying to get the believers of Ephesus to understand. Like, guys, you are a diverse people. And when Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus, house churches in Ephesus, they're made up of people of different ethnicities, of different backgrounds, of different socioeconomic makeups, of different gender makeups. Now, just to kind of give you a little bit more of teaching to help you understand the Greco-Roman context in the first century, how ethnicity was broken down in that first century. You were either considered to be a Jew or a Gentile. Jew meaning you were pure-blooded Jew. If you were half-blooded Jew, you weren't a Jew. You were considered to be a Gentile. They would call you also specifically more of a Samaritan. If you, some of you guys who remember the scriptures in the Bible, John chapter 4, Jesus had a conversation with a woman who was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was considered to be a half-breed, somebody who was half-Jewish, somebody who was not. They were mixed. Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. There was this ethnic tension. Do y'all see how it's very similar to today? That everything that's happening today, guys, is not anything new. It's something that God has seen happen over and over again, and the solution has always been the same, the cross of Jesus Christ. That has not changed, not one bit. Not one bit. Even in the midst of us having different ethnicities in today's time, the solution is still the same, and that is the fact that God wants to bring people of different ethnic groups, Jew, Gentile, all together. And Paul was constantly dealing with the ethnic and the racial tension that existed, not just in the city of Ephesus, but also within the body of Christ. Why do you think Paul is writing to them, constantly telling them that you all are one in Christ Jesus? You are Jew, you are Gentile, you are rich, you are poor. None of that matters. You are all part of the same family. Why do you think Paul had to write that? Because there was ethnic tension even within the church. There's racism taking place. Let me just kind of pause parenthetically. There is no room for racism in the body of Christ. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, like, yes, Jesus, I believe what you did for me on the cross, there is no room for any type of prejudicial nature in your life. Amen. I'm going to let that sit right there for a moment. And the reason why this message is oftentimes very uncomfortable is because, let me let us know something. I don't know if you knew this. All of us in here got a little bit of bias in us. Y'all want to talk back to me right now? Y'all want to say amen? It's getting real. Like, even me as your pastor, like, I wrestle with it as well. All of us have a little bit of preference when it comes to certain things. And what Paul is trying to help us understand today is that as we follow Jesus, we got to begin to tear down the walls in our heart of hatred that we've allowed culture to erect in our lives. It's time to tear down the walls. And what Paul is trying to help us understand is that the finished work of Jesus has everything to do with tearing down walls of division, of hatred, of racism, of bigotry, that the finished work of Jesus is so much more than him dying on the cross for our sins. Right? So here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's you and me. All of us deserve to go straight to hell because of our sinfulness. in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Here's what Paul says in verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What does that mean? We deserve God's judgment, not God's grace. We deserve God's just punishment for our sin. This is why the scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's what Paul later on says. Next, verse 4. But because of his great love for us. Y'all remember that show, Schoolhouse Rock? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all are like, Schoolhouse Rock? What's that? Go YouTube it right quick. Not right quick. I want you to stay focused. But they always had this song, Conjunction, Junction. Wish, oh, come on, somebody. Wish your function. And whenever there was a conjunction, what came before the conjunction was now nullified by what comes after. Paul says in verses 1 through 3, you were on your way to hell, Pastor Edwin translation, deserving of wrath because of your sinfulness, because of your wickedness, but because of God's great love for us, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. But because of God's great love for us, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And every person who has received the grace of God should be clapping their hands right there and open up your mouth telling God, thank you so much that you did not give me what I deserved. Grace means that God was kind to you even though you didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. It doesn't matter how many times a week you come to church. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you read. Your righteousness, your good works are not really good enough. The only thing that is good enough is what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and it's a free gift. And the only thing that you got to say is, Jesus, I want your life. I want your grace. I want your love. And all of a sudden, when you make that decision and make that profession of faith, you are now seen as holy and as blameless as Jesus is. You've been forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. Some of you guys came in here today carrying around the guilt and the weight of the things that you did, not just last week, but last night. Like, man, God surely doesn't love me. Matter of fact, some of you guys came in here this morning like, I'm scared. I'm going to get struck by lightning when I come in here because of what I did. And God is saying, man, in Christ Jesus, if you're in me, I've forgiven you of all your things, of everything. I've made you into a new creature. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But oftentimes, that's where we stop. That's the vertical relationship. I don't know if y'all knew this. When Jesus died on the cross, there was two parts of the cross. There was the vertical, right, which is symbolic and representation of the relationship between us and God the Father. But then there was also a horizontal. And that is indicative and representative of our relationship with other people. And oftentimes what we as believers do is we stop at the vertical. But you don't really understand the vertical if the horizontal was not a part of it. This is why John will later on say, how can you say you love God whom you've not seen but hate your brother who you see all the time? He's writing to believers. Because oftentimes you and I have these issues when it comes to relationships with people, especially those people who don't look like us, don't vote like us, don't talk like us, don't make as much money as us, who don't like some of the same things as us. Here's what I want us to understand. What Jesus accomplished has massive implications when it comes to racism and division. Massive implications. It's bigger than just, okay, Jesus, you died for my sins. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Good. I'm coasting until I get there. It's so much bigger than that, y'all. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much more than just me saying a commitment prayer of faith, which is awesome. That's part of it, but that's not the totality of it. And what Paul is writing the believers here at Ephesus is he's helping them understand that the gospel is so much more than you just going to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. This is why Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew 6, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me help us understand something. In heaven, y'all, there's people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and language gathered around the throne of Jesus. And so if Jesus is saying, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, he's saying, God, I want to bring everything that is in heaven to earth. And you know how he does that? Through his church. Through you. The finished work of Christ has massive implications when it comes to racism, when it comes to division. What does it mean to get more specific as it relates to what Paul is saying? Here's a few things I want to kind of make mention of. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, what Jesus did for us. Here's the most important thing in this message. Hostility is destroyed. Through Jesus, hostility is destroyed. So when you look at the first part of what Paul says in verse 14, notice what he says. For he himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace, y'all. Jesus is our peace. He not only gives peace, he is peace, which simply means this. Peace will never be found apart from Jesus. Like, I'm wearing a shirt today. I found this on H&M on Friday, by the way. I was like, man, I need to go get something new. It's been a minute. I got a gift card. God's been faithful. And I happen to see something on sale. God is good. How many of y'all like sale blessings? Not stale blessings, sale blessings. Right? And I saw this shirt. I was like, man, that would be perfect for the series in this message because I'm talking about peace that Jesus brings. Only Jesus brings peace. In other words, there's no other way to get peace in this world apart from Jesus. That's why Scripture calls him the Prince of Peace. That's why Scripture says that he gives peace that surpasses all understanding. So if many of us in here, let me pause parenthetically, you've been trying to find peace in all of these other places. You've been trying to find peace by more income, by new relationship, by a bigger house, by a bigger car, by new hair, by new wardrobe, by new jewelry. And God is like, you will never find any peace apart from me. Peace is only found in Jesus. No matter what organizations or government or anything else tries to do apart from Jesus, there is no peace. Jesus brings peace and he destroys hostility. What's the first part of hostility that he destroys? The hostility that existed between you and God. I don't know if you knew that or not. You were enemies with God prior to you coming to know Christ. I know you probably don't believe me. Here's what the scripture says in Colossians 1:21. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. You were his enemies. How? Separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And check this out, y'all. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I said it earlier, man. When God sees you in Christ, you stand before him without a single fault, without any type of a flaw. He sees the blood of his son on your life. That's the blessing. Jesus breaks down the wall of hostility that existed between you and God, but he also breaks down the wall of hostility that exists between you and other people, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like. Here's what Paul would later on say, that he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Do y'all see it? Destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. Then later on, he says, and in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Paul is not mincing words here. He is intentionally saying the word hostility because it represents the hostility and the hatred that existed between people of different ethnic groups. But he's saying that through the blood of Jesus, that hostility is destroyed. Do y'all see this? So when we begin to promote flags of racism, we're erecting something that Jesus has already torn down. When we push certain agendas that don't line up with the scriptures, man, we're bringing something back that Jesus has destroyed. It's interesting because when Paul uses this word, he's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility in the Jewish temple. In that first century context, there was a wall that separated Jews from Gentiles. This is how bad it was, y'all. Like, literally a wall, not like figuratively, but literally there was a wall that separated Jews from Gentiles. And what Paul is saying is that now there is no longer a wall that divides people. All can come into the family of God. No one is greater than the next person, no matter your ethnicity, no matter how much money you make, no matter your background. All are coming to Jesus, no matter if you're white, black, no matter if you're rich, or no matter if you live in this neighborhood, the suburbs, or rural areas, all can come to Christ, and all can be a part of the family of God. Tearing down walls. Now, many of us right now, like, you're starting to be like, okay, I see that, but it's not hitting home. Let me ask you this question. What walls of hostility are residing in your heart right now? What walls in your heart exist? Let me get even realer. It's not a word, but I just made it up. Do you have hostility in your heart towards people who don't have the same skin complexion as you? Do you carry around these preconceived notions of people because they don't look like you? That's hostility in the heart. And what Paul is really trying to cut through is that it is only through Jesus that people who were once enemies, they don't just become friends, they become family. Through what Jesus has done. Through what he's accomplished on the cross. Let me say it like this. The world can treat the symptoms of racism, but only Jesus can treat the root of it. Only Jesus treats the root of it. The world can hold rally after rally. Let's sit around and sing Kumbaya. Let me help us understand something. Singing Kumbaya ain't gonna do nothing with the heart, y'all. It puts up a good front. It makes good headlines. It gets a lot of likes on Instagram. It gets a lot of likes on Twitter and a lot of likes on Facebook. But at the end of the day, if the heart hasn't been transformed, that was just a show. What God is after is not what's on the surface. He's after what's beneath the surface. I love what Paul is saying here because he's talking about this hostility that existed between Jew and Gentile. A very plain way to present this is it's similar to the hostility that Cowboy fans have towards Redskin fans and vice versa. Like legitimately. It's similar to the way the Redskins fans and the Eagle fans, or Redskins and Eagles, had this massive rivalry. Matter of fact, that Redskins and Eagles play today, I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm praying in Jesus' name that we will win. Come on, somebody. My team is in the Bible. Come on, I mean, what I need to do? And to show you? Believe in biblical teams around here. Jesus bridging the gap between Jew and Gentile and making the two one. Family is like the tension that exists between cowboy fans and Redskin fans, destroying it, and they all become one. Some of you are like, that's impossible. I would never be a traitor. No. That's what Jesus is talking about, that he's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. We have these walls in our heart towards certain people. How do I know this? Because we'll do things like make certain jokes about people who are not the same color as us. Right? Can I get real? Y'all gonna talk back to me? Like, we do it all the time. Right? So we say, oh, they white, so, you know, they must listen to country music and rock music. Not all white people listen to country and rock music. That's like a racist thing to say. It's a stereotype, but it's racist. Like, they black, so they gonna be late. Not all black people are late. Oh, they black, they like fried chicken. Not all black people like fried chicken. Let me share the story. And by all means, let me preface this and say this. I love the church. I love pastors. I had to say that for what I'm about to share. My wife and I, we went to a conference back in April, our network conference, and it was a guy there who kind of introduced himself to me. I spoke at one of the sessions in the art conference that day, and he came up to me after it was done. And he was like, man, I just want to get to know you more, man. Like, man, you just, like, your church is all about diversity, this, that, and thing. And that's kind of what we're trying to do at our church. Man, our church is, like, 100% white. We got, like, one black person there. It's like, yeah! Right? Like, literally, that's kind of what he did. And I'm like, cool, bro. Like, that's our heartbeat. I believe that's the heartbeat of the gospel. That's what God is calling us to do. He's not called us to be some segregated place of worship. He's called us to be a community made up of all people. And so, like, later on in the week, we kind of saw each other again and stuff like that. And he came up to me, like, after one of the sessions, and he kind of cracked a joke. And he cracked the joke. I can't even remember specifically what it was, but he said a joke, and it was a straight stereotype. I know what it was. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What he said was, he's like, man, yo, like, man, he was talking about ribs, and he was talking about, like, just how good ribs are. He's like, man, like, man, you know you like some ribs. And I was like, I don't really eat ribs for real, bro. It's like, for real? Like, nah. And what I wanted to say was, not every black person eats ribs. Now, I know that that's not what he meant. I know that. Because he was a good dude. He loves Jesus. He loves people. But what it showed me is that all of us can carry around these biases and don't even realize it.
and just be so ignorant to it. And those are perpetuations of racism. Like, not all Asian people eat rice. Like, can I be real? Because what we do is we carry around all these stereotypes. And what happens is you don't think it impacts you. No, it does. Because it impacts how you look at them. So you look at people who don't look like you or people who come from a certain culture through your own preconceived notion of a lens that's not accurate. I think that's my child, and they're giving me a good amen. And God is saying, it's time for these walls to come down. It's time for us to begin to repent of these stereotypes that we kind of that we have in our hearts. Let me say it like this, that as long as you stereotype people, you will never be sensitive to people. You'll never be sensitive to them. And this is for no matter what ethnicity you are. Black, white, Asian, Latino, it doesn't matter. Old, young, it doesn't matter. We're awesome and we're great and we're pros at building walls when Jesus has called us to be pros at building bridges. Tear down the walls of division, man. So maybe today, man, we just need to start to repent. God, I'm sorry for looking at people that way. I'm sorry for carrying around these stereotypes of people in my heart. You cannot love God and love people while being a racist at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot effectively love people if you're looking at them through a lens less than the fact that they've been created in the likeness and image of God. And all of us have a tendency to do it. All of us. And if we're not careful and we don't see it, we begin to let our lives be shaped by it. And God is saying today, I want you to know that through the blood of my son, Jesus, I have destroyed the hostility that exists. I've destroyed it. Not defeated it, destroyed it. That's why Paul uses the word there. He's destroyed it. But why do we see it still happening in our society? It's not because it lessens what Jesus has done. It represents a world that is not submitted to the finished work of Jesus. And what believers are supposed to be doing is those who have submitted to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be the ones who are salt and light and saying, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. We should be the main ones leading the front line when it comes to this topic. And I'm not talking about hiding behind an avatar and talking about on Facebook. That don't do nothing. I'm talking about being a proponent on your job, in your community, in your neighborhood. I'm talking about being vocal about it. I'm talking about pointing people to Jesus. I'm talking about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He's destroyed this dividing wall of hostility, but also through Jesus. Here's the next thing, the last thing that he's done. Unity is achieved. Unity is achieved. I'm going to move through this fast because I know we're kind of pressed for time. Here's what Paul says. Notice what he says in the beginning of, towards the end of verse 15. He says his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Everybody say one. Come on, everybody say one. One new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. He wants to make one out of two. And notice what he says later on in verse 18, for through him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus took people of different ethnic groups and made them into one new family called the body of Christ, aka the church. Jesus took all of these people from these different backgrounds, different socioeconomic makeups, different ethnicities, and he made them into one family through his body, the body of Christ. That's what he's done. You want to know why our church talks about this? You want to know why our church will be diverse? It's because by not being diverse, we are in complete opposite of what Jesus has done on the cross. I'm going to talk more about this next week, so you got to be here next week. It's going to get real next week. But Jesus, through his life, he's made us into one family. I get it, man. Family don't always get along. Like, there's still going to be some tension. But at the core of it, man, we're family. At the core of it, we've been joined together. At the core of it, We're blood related. Not physical flesh and blood, but that of the blood of Jesus. We've been tied and tethered to him. Let me say it like this. That lasting unity doesn't come through a rally. It came through a cross. Not a rally, a cross. A bloody cross. That's unity. When we look at Jesus, when we talked about the song that we sang right before the message started, eyes filled with blood, that's a picture of unity taking place. When Jesus is on the cross, he vertically reconciles us to God, but then horizontally, he reconciles us to one another. That's what he does. He makes us into one family. And in us making us a new family, here's what he also does. He gives us a new identity. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 especially says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, I've been a part of churches for years. And I've heard this scripture preached for years. And they're always being preached in a great way. But I sometimes feel like it's oftentimes left out. Because what Paul is talking about here is not just the fact that you've been forgiven of your sins. He's really saying you have a new makeup. You have a new identity. In other words, your ethnicity no longer defines you. Who you are in Christ is what defines you. So I'm not black before I'm Christian. I'm Christian before I'm black. Does this make sense? My skin color does not dictate who I am any longer. Who I am in Christ dictates who I am. But let me also say this. We don't leave our ethnicity at the door. It just means we don't allow it to define us anymore. Why do you think the Bible does say every nation, tribe, and tongue? Right? So when people say, you know, pure-hearted, we'll say this, and maybe you said this, you know, I'm colorblind. I don't really see color because I think everybody's created equal. I get the heart of it, but you're still missing the power of it. Because to say I don't see color is to disregard how God has uniquely made each and every person. So I can't sit here and say I'm colorblind. No, we're color blessed. We're blessed with this multifaceted, this multicolored, this multi-ethnic family of God. We're defined by one color, the blood of Jesus. And when you become a son and daughter of God, here's what one pastor says. When you became a son and daughter of God, your ethnic culture became a subculture to the kingdom culture. I love that. Your ethnic culture became a subculture to the kingdom culture. In other words, the kingdom trumps everything. The kingdom is over everything. So I don't look at life through the lens of a black African-American man anymore. I look at it through the lens of the finished work of Jesus, my identity in Christ. That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. Now, this is a problem, and if you're kind of feeling some tension right now, it's probably because you and I are still wrestling with this very thing of ethnicity. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to disregard who you are. Hey, by the way, y'all do know, Jesus won't like just some white European guy that you see in paintings. Like, dude was out in the Middle East during this time. That's a whole nother message for another time. But also through the lineage of Jesus, I want you to go and read Mark and Luke, or Matthew and Luke. And you see the whole genealogy. Some of you guys like, when I get to that part, I just fast forward to Matthew chapter 2. Because I see all these different people. No, you're missing it. Because the lineage of Jesus points the very thing that he came to do. Because when you look at his genealogy, you see people of different economic makeups. You see people of different ethnic makeups. You see different genders. It's a picture of what he wanted to do on the cross. Guys, you had somebody by the name of Rahab who was a prostitute. She was not a Jew. Not at all. Jesus, one of the first people that he revealed himself as Messiah to, was a Samaritan woman, y'all. Do you think that was by accident? No. In John chapter 4, it says he had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go through Samaria? Because he's trying to tear down walls, which is why the lady said, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You Jews don't talk to us Samaritans. And Jesus is like, if you only knew who you were talking to, the one who came to tear down walls and build bridges, the one who came to reconcile you back to God, the one who came to say that there no longer is Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
It's all throughout the Gospels, y'all. It's all throughout the Bible. This ain't nothing new. When God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, do you want to know what he's saying? I'm going to make you the father of many ethnos, of many ethnic groups. How does he do this? He does this through the finished work of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the grave is God's fulfillment to the promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis. I love the way that God is faithful to every single promise. He may not do it when you expect him to do it, but he will always do it on time. Do y'all see that the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus is so much bigger than just me going to heaven? It's about bringing heaven down to earth, y'all. It's littered all throughout the Bible. We miss it. We don't see it. Here's what Paul would say in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through faith, not by works, not by what you do. You're not a child of God because of what you do, because you go to church. You're a child of God because of your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross and through his resurrection. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. New identity. Do y'all see it? I'm clothed with Christ. Not my ethnicity, but with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's almost like Paul is saying, can't we all just get along? Y'all, we family. Jesus has torn down these walls. Through him, a new family is produced. Through the finished work of Jesus, man, racism does not have anything to do with the body of Christ. So if nobody else in the entire world should be pushing for diversity and pushing for unity, it should be the church. I believe that the church should be leading the way in this conversation. But so often we've been on the back burner. Because it's like, oh, I don't want to do that because it may cost me something. Oh, I don't want to do that because I may lose something. Y'all know what's the gain is so much greater than what you will lose. Here's what Revelation 7 and 9 says. I said this earlier. I'm going to give you the actual scripture. John, he says this, after this, I looked, there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne to the Lamb. Notice verse 9, the new heaven and new earth. I see people from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne of God. Here's the reason why Jesus has, through his death, produced unity amongst the body of Christ and wants to bring unity even here on earth. It's because when we get to heaven, that's how it's going to be. There won't be a black section when you get to heaven, y'all. There's not going to be a white section when you get to heaven. It says people from every nation, tribe, and tongue are gathered around the throne of Jesus. It's a beautiful picture. And God says, I want to give the world a foretaste of how it will be in heaven. So your life is to be a foretaste of what people are going to see. I'll say this in closing. When I was in Panera this week preparing for this message, had my headphones on like I normally do. I just like to peruse and just kind of like to look at people. I kind of be on my secret pastor stalker mode, just looking at people. Like, what they doing over there? Why she ain't pop them kids with stuff like that? You know? I'm joking. But I'm sitting there and I'm at my normal spot and I happen to see three people sitting at a table. And I couldn't help but to notice the colorful makeup of that table. One was Asian, one was Latino, and one was black. And they're sitting at the table, y'all, eating Panera, laughing, joking, having a good time, reflecting. I don't even know what they were probably talking about. But what was interesting about it was that though they were different in color, what joined them together much greater. And here's what joined them together. Because in the midst of me noticing the color of their skin, I noticed what they had on them. And anybody who's ever been in Panera around noontime knows that it gets flooded with people who are in the military, especially the Air Force. And what I noticed was all of them at the table had on their Air Force uniforms. And it was like God began to speak to me that what's on you identity in Christ. Clothe yourself in Christ. It's what unifies you. What's on you is what brings people from different tribes, different tongues together. And he says, if that on a temporary level can happen, the blood of my son can make that happen for all of eternity and has made that happen for all of eternity. And I think that was an example of something that God is trying to maybe teach us as believers and us as the church, that we don't divide based upon skin color, flesh and blood. No. We unite based upon being clothed in Christ. Now, I'm not wearing a uniform from the military. I'm wearing a new heavenly priestly garment. And what God wants to do with all of us as the church, as the family, as the body of Christ, is to begin to model that to our entire world. And how do you begin to model that? That means that you start to become intentional about connecting with people who don't look like you. Let me kind of ask this question. It may make us a little uncomfortable. Are all the people that you are Facebook friends with, or are all the people who are in your contact list, are the majority of those people of the same ethnic group? Because if so, you are missing something great that God wants to show you. You are missing out on what God wants to produce through your life. God says, I want your life to be colorful. I want my church to be colorful. I want my family to be colorful. And the way that I've done that is through Jesus. It's through Jesus. He's torn down these dividing walls of hostility. Through his blood shed on the cross, which is much greater than a military bond, y'all. It's an eternal bond. And as I said earlier in this message, I think where many of us need to pause is to pause and to ask ourselves this question: God, have I perpetuated division and racism behind how I look at people and how I treat people? Right? I repent of that, Lord, because this is somebody that you bled for, died for. If we would begin to look at every person as if Jesus died for them, because he did, it would change the way we treat people. It would change the way we view people. At the heart of God, y'all, is the gospel message. The gospel message is a reconciling message to God and then to one another. And so today, here's what I'm calling us to do as people. Even if you're not a Christian, your first step today is, I need to step to Jesus, man, because I need to be forgiven for being a racist, and I didn't even realize it. You can be racist towards people who are the same color as you. You can be racist to people who don't even look like you. But I believe that God is calling us to take a step of faith, and he's calling us to repent of some things and some practices that we've adopted, that we've let culture to program us with. And today, God is saying, I want to tear down the walls in your heart. And so today, our prayer and our hope as people should be, God, would you open up my heart? Would you give me your heart? The thing that causes you to grieve, can it cause me to grieve as well? That when I see division and when I see racism, forgive me for being silent about it and acting like it doesn't happen. But Lord, help me to be a voice, and not just a voice, but help me to be a gospel voice, a Jesus Christ-centered voice that brings people to the cross. That when I see racism, when I see hatred, when I see bigotry, when I see division take place, that I lift up Christ and say, that cross has destroyed that wall. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to do that right now, to repent of that bigotry, of that hostility. Some of the things that have happened in your past have caused you to look at certain people a certain way. It's like you've categorized everybody in the same category because of something that one or two people did to you. There's a healing that God wants to do in your life and in your heart right now. People who may have been in a whole other economic makeup, and maybe the oppression that they brought forth to your life, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you're looking at somebody, you look down on them because they don't look like you. You look down on them because they don't make as much money as you, because they don't drive like you, because they don't dress like you. God is calling us today to repent and for these walls to fall down. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for every person who right now is saying, God, forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me, Lord, for spitting in the face of what you have done on the cross. And today, Lord, we turn away from bigotry. We turn away from prejudice. We turn away from any type of biased nature that we've been carrying around in our hearts, even things that we've been ignorant to, even jokes that we have made, even things that we have said, thoughts that we have thought. We repent of all those things today because we want to be people who tear down walls and build bridges. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, this is me. Like, this represents me. I've been the one who needed to repent. I've been the one who needs to turn away. I'm the one who needs to have my heart made new. I've been carrying around this hatred, and it's killing me. I don't even know why I hate people who don't look like me, but it's killing me. It's consuming me. But today, I want to be set free of that, and here's the answer for that. The only way you can be set free of that is through faith in Jesus Christ today. So if that's you and you're saying, I'm going to give my life, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or even come to the front while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed. If that's you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want him to forgive me of my sins, past, present, and future. I want you to lift up your hand right where you are so I can lead you in a moment of prayer right where you are. If that's you, if that's your heart's desire, just lift up your hand. If that's what you desire, if that's what you hope for. Amen. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you raise your hand and you're making the decision to give Christ your life this morning, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you raised from the grave on the third day so that I could have a new life. I thank you for new life. And I thank you for your love for me. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Come on, we can do better than that. The God who tears down walls and builds bridges. Amen. Amen. So, hey, right where we are, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. I'm going to ask us all to pull out that worship guide that you got when you walked in here. On the inside of that is a connection card. And on the back of it, it says, my decision today. I'm committing my life to Christ today. I want you to check that box if you made a decision to give Jesus your life. If you prayed that prayer, saying, I want to be a part of his family. I want to receive his forgiveness. I want you to check that box. And as you leave out, drop that in the bucket so that way we can reach out to you this morning.